Okay. So what was your introduction to macrobiotics?
Well, basically, I grew up on a standard American diet, and I ate a lot of junk food growing up and stuff. By the time I was 20, I was having a lot of health issues, probably the worst of which was starting to get arthritis pains. My mother had passed away from rheumatoid arthritis when she was very young, and she started getting it at a young age, too. There was other problems. My teeth were getting really loose, and I was afraid I was going to lose them. I had bleeding gums all the time.
Really?
I was interested. Yeah, I was in a dentist's office, I believe it was, and I picked up this prevention magazine. And in the back, there was a little article in there, just a tiny little paragraph. It talked about arthritis sufferers might want to avoid nightshades. And, you know, I'd never heard of that before. So, and listed all the nightshades, tomatoes, eggplant, tomatoes, and potatoes. And I basically lived on, that's basically all the vegetables I ate at the time, and put tomato sauce on everything. So anyway, I thought I'd give it a try. And
Now do you know why they say no nightshades for arthritis?
There's some kind of alkaline chemicals in it or something.
Actually, it's a chemical that's common. So nightshade, just for anybody that doesn't know or knows, nightshades are vegetables that grow at night rather than the daytime. Which is just an interesting thing. Certainly most plants grow during the day, but for all the nightshades have this one compound in common, and it's called solanine. And solanine causes joint inflammation. Nightshades are often called solanous vegetables, and so that's actually the reason why they recommend that people with arthritis not consume nightshades. And go on, John.
Yeah, so it only took a few weeks of staying away from those vegetables that everything cleared up. I mean, the arthritis pain I was having in my joints and my teeth, my gums stopped bleeding, my teeth firmed back up, and, you know, so it really opened my eyes as to, you know, what we eat, how it can affect our health.
That's really amazing. This is just removing nightshades from your diet.
Yeah.
Did you make other changes, like, you know, less white? I'm just asking because I want to know. Were there other changes right at that time?
No, not really, because at the time I was always really thin, and I had a friend of mine that lifted weights. He was trying to get me to gain weight, so I was using like these protein shakes, and I was eating, you know, a lot of meat and, you know, trying to bulk up and stuff. And so I really didn't change anything else. I mean, because I was still eating that way. And I did gain weight for a short while, but then I got real sick and I, like, crashed and lost it all right away. So
what did you replace? Because, I mean, you can't take something away without replacing it. So you remove these vegetables, and then what happened?
I did start eating more broccoli and things like that, you know, carrots, just other vegetables, you know,
right,
that weren't nightshades.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I did do that. And then about a year after that, I started getting interested in vegetarianism. And it's funny because one of the things that's, I think, got me started on vegetarianism, I was reading through the Bible for the first time in my life. And in the Old Testament, where Adam and Eve, in the garden, she's speaking to Adam and Eve, and God says, I give you every seed-bearing plant and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. These shall be your food. I just thought that was really interesting. And then later on, in the book of Daniel,
thought that was interesting because they didn't mention animals, right?
Yeah. I just thought, you know, like they were vegetarians.
Right. So I mean, that's amazing. I mean, it is really amazing that you know. I mean, officially, this was the word of God, and this was certainly one of the most ancient pieces of literature that we have,
yeah.
And you would think that if people were eating meat back then, when this was written down, they would have mentioned consuming animal food, but they didn't. That's an amazing thing that you picked up on.
Well, then later on in the Bible, in the book of Daniel, it talks about how Daniel and his friends were taken captive into Babylon, And they were chosen out of other people because they were skilled and they seemed to be have some wisdom and stuff. But the king was feeding them all this rich meat and everything, and Daniel and his friends refused to eat the meat and drink the wine and stuff, the rich food that the king was trying to feed them. And the servant that was overseeing them was upset because he was afraid, you know, they were going to waste away and the king would see them, you know, looking sick. And he said, and Daniel told him, no, just give us vegetables, legumes and vegetables for 10 days and water to drink, and then come back at the end of that time and see, you know, see how we look. And the guy was blown away. He came back and he looked healthier than anyone else. And he goes on to say that God gave them knowledge, skill, and wisdom and understanding of all visions and dreams. I just thought that was so cool, you know?
Right.
So basically that sort of intrigued me into you know, starting a vegetarian life, and it was probably within a year's time. I was in a health food store in Ocean City, and I happened to overhear this guy talking to someone about this rice fast that he'd been on. And I was just really intrigued, and I came over and, you know, introduced myself and kind of interrupted his conversation. But he, I was asking him what exactly it was. It sounded really amazing, and he was talking about how his health really improved. And he reached on the bookshelf and handed me this book, You're All Sanpaku by George Oshawa. And I think I read it. I started reading it. I went home and read it just right straight through. I just really found it fascinating because I'd read a lot of different books on vegetarianism and health, but this was just seemed so different, and it just really made sense. It just hit a chord in me somehow.
George Oshawa is absolutely one of the he is one of the most incredible writers that I have ever read. I concur. He'll start with literally talking about a blade of grass, and three paragraphs later, you are just envisioning, you know, the unity of the entire cosmos. He has a way of putting ideas together. So you got turned on. So you basically you read like so many people who got turned on to macrobiotics. You read one of George Oshawa's original pieces, a classic, no doubt. URL Sanpaku. So
I think I've had like four or five copies since then. I keep giving them away and never get them back, so I have to keep buying
it. I have books like that. Yes.
I bought Miki Okushi's book, Natural Healing Through Macrobiotics, and I really studied that. And after reading that, I remember thinking to myself, if I ever have cancer, God forbid, someday, this is what I'm going to do. I mean, I remember thinking that. And then I don't know how many years later it was. I tried some of the food. I remember I just had a little electric hot plate where I was living, and I was just renting a room at the time, so I didn't really have a place to cook. And I was always burning. I tried to make rice, and I tried to make adobo beans and squash dish and stuff, and I was always burning it and stuff. So it wasn't really good eating.
The beginning, yeah.
So it was about 2 years after that I was diagnosed with cancer. It was actually 4 days after our wedding, and left testicle started swelling, and I went to the doctor, and he looked at it, and he said, you know, I'd seen it before, and he was almost positive that this is what it was. And I kind of got real, you know, they wanted to do biopsies and a lot of other stuff. He did some blood tests and things like that, and all the markers were there for it being a testicular seminoma. But I didn't go back. I went home, and I was terrified, of course, and just, you know, I didn't know what to do. And my wife kind of reminded me of, you know, what I had known about macrobiotics, and she actually went out and bought some more books for me. She bought me The Cancer Prevention Diet and by Miki Okushi and Evelyn Kushi. And she also bought me Recalled by Life by Dr. Sadolaro.
Mm-hmm.
And that really, really blew me away, that book. And that's when first time I heard about Denny Waxman. So it was almost immediately we decided to make an appointment to see Denny. And I think maybe I had about a month to wait before I could see him.
Wow.
I just tried to eat as well as I could on my own until then. He gave me, you know, I went to see Denny, gave me, I remember one of the first things he said was, he does oriental diagnosis, you know, and visual diagnosis and
right.
looking me over and everything. And he sat down and he said, you know, she said, if you don't have cancer, you know, you're very close to it. And that he told me, like, all my organ systems were really out of whack. My intestines, liver, kidneys were all really in bad shape and very weak and everything. And so he gave me specific dietary guidelines to follow, as well as, like, lifestyle changes and stuff, exercise and walking and things like that.
Yeah, now say a little bit about Denny Waxman, because he is one of the more successful counselors out there, and he has such a unique counseling style where he says very little, but for whatever reason, when he says to do something, people go out and do it. You know, he has this deep kind of, like, conveyance. This ability to convey, you know, the importance of health. What were the consultations like? What were your macrobiotic consultations like? Can you say a little bit about that?
I would go in, and the first time I didn't know what to expect, and I would go in, and a lot of times it would start out. Denny would take back then I had Polaroid pictures. I'm sure he used a digital camera now. But, you know, he'd take a Polaroid photo of me. So he had sort of before and after shots. And I remember maybe it was the fourth or fifth visit. I never really saw the photos, but about the fourth or fifth visit, he brought over all the photos together and showed me. And I was really impressed with how I looked. I mean, I looked completely different.
Right.
I remember him saying something to the effect of, I had a more animal look at that. I sort of had a wild-eyed look in the first photograph, and then that look sort of softened as the photos went on. My skin color got better and better with each photo.
Uh-huh. The tension around the eyes just goes away. I mean, it's true. People just look calmer when they're on a healthy vegetarian diet. Now actually, I want to mention to our callers that I actually met John Williams, our speaker today, many, many years ago. I was actually a scribe in one of his consultations. And what strikes me about that memory, this was many years, this was, you know, a decade and a half after he had cured cancer. And had children and all this stuff. And when I was sitting in on that consultation, I never even knew that John had testicular cancer. You know, the consultation to me was just this happy, healthy family going to Denny Waxman looking, you know, for more advice.
On the macrobiotic conference call, we're muted.
Hi, actually, we did have whoever just said that, we had a small problem with the conference call, so I'm unable to mute everyone on this time. So if you could just keep quiet on your end until the question and answer period, that'll help this session go really well. Sorry, I know that a few people have chimed in after I mentioned that at the beginning. Can you just say, you know, talk about the freedom that you have now, you know, in terms of, do you ever think about, wow, I had cancer, or are you just moved on from that period of life, and you're just...
I don't know, I kind of do once in a while. I mean, of course, I'm very appreciative of everything, but I've kind of moved on. I mean, when, you know, I have four children, and it's like, you know, it's like a roller coaster ride, and I have three of them are teenagers now, so it's, you know, it's just, and they're all creative and they're all pulling in different directions. So it's, you know, and I'm just busy at work and everything. So I, you know, I have moved on, and it's kind of hard going back sometimes and reliving it. But it was a kind of rough time, you know, in my life.
But other than you maintaining, you know, a good diet now, would you say it's had any, you know, that past cancer experience, then going through macrobiotic healing experience, would you say it's had any long-term repercussions on you or not?
I'm not really sure.
The tragic health period. Has that lingered on, or?
I guess maybe to some extent. It's always in the back of my mind, you know, and I'm always trying to be careful.
Right.
Not to go too far away from the diet. I mean, I tend to stay pretty clean. You know, go to parties once in a while, or you go out to eat. Of course, you go often. I try to always bring myself right back. So I do think it's kept me alive all these years.
You know, what's interesting. I actually want to mention this for the sake of our guest, is that it's a good point where you maintain a good diet now, and chances are, I can be pretty sure about this, that you still actually have cancer cells in your body. In fact, many, many, many people have cancer cells in their body. It's just whether or not we provide those cancer cells the opportunity to grow. And that is caused, right. So that is actually caused by sugar, white flour, too much animal products, all of that stuff. So in your case, you know, you're relatively sensitive to this, you know, and so you maintain a very, not a very strict diet, but a very clean diet overall. Now, with other people, they, you know, we may or may not have cancer cells developed yet, but we don't have that motivation that you have now, you know, to maintain such a clean diet. But some people do. Now, what do you think causes people to have the motivation to shape up their diet and make health a lifestyle?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, I've had people come to me, I guess, that hear about my story and that have cancer, and some that you know, really interested, and they go on a diet and everything and do pretty well. And then, you know, of course, there's other people I try to share the information with, and they've gone on to pass away. I mean, they just, you know, don't seem to believe in it at all. But some of the people that do go on the diet, and it's kind of like one of the things that happened to me, is they get well, and then they seem to go off the diet, or I don't know if they start craving old foods again for some reason, but I've known people like that, and it just ends up usually in disaster. I don't know why I did it. I mean,
the same thing. You shrank your tumor, and then you decided to widen out.
Started feeling better, and the thing is, you can get away with binging or going off the diet for a short while. And I guess you feel like, I guess I felt like at the time, well, you know, I feel fine. It didn't really affect me any. So you think you can do it again and again, and then it catches up with you. And, it, you know, then
right.
before you know it, you're in a tailspin. So, yeah.
Health, you're absolutely right. Health is, we make these little decisions, and it changes so slowly over time that often we don't know how far we've gone in either direction. If we're going off and being less healthy, we slowly change toward a state of dishealth over a long period of time. We barely even notice it. And the same thing with being healthy. If you're being healthy, over time you get to this really healthy state, and you don't even realize how good you feel, you know, until you fall off again, and all of a sudden you remind yourself, wow, I do not feel good when I eat that kind of food. So you went back onto the macrobiotic diet, and then what happened?
You mean after the cancer spread, or?
So yeah, so either way, I don't think we actually got to that, but which.
Well, I continued to see Denny, and there were things that I did along the way that I mean, Denny used to be annoyed at, and I guess I really didn't understand how important they were. One of the things was he always recommended you cook on a gas stove, and for the longest time I had an electric stove, and I guess I didn't really think it was that much of a difference. I realize now it is, because when I finally did switch to gas, it made all the difference in the world.
In terms of your health, or in terms of what you could taste in the food, what difference did you notice?
Well, I mean, in my health, it just seemed to really make a difference. I think cooking on an electric stove, the energy is just too chaotic. It imparts that to the food. You know what I mean? It's not a calming energy as a gift.
You know, they've actually done studies where they grew plants that were ever gently heated with electricity versus natural heat, and the plants that were grown with a little bit of natural heat actually grew bigger than the plants that were grown with electric heat. That's really interesting. They'll have to figure out sometime in the future what it is about these electromagnetic radiation, you know, in the electric cooking that affects the food in an unhealthy way. We I don't think there's definitive research out there, but I know food quality and food flavor certainly is different on an electric stove, and you said that you noticed it with your health itself.
Yeah. Plus, I always seem to burn things more easily on the electric stove for whatever reason. I don't know.
Right.
But the other thing, too, was he always recommended organic vegetables, and I didn't always, where we live, they weren't always available, or I didn't want to spend the money for them, you know, so I didn't always use organic, so that wasn't good either.
Right.
But, when you go to someone like Denny, you really need to follow exactly what he says to do, and I, you know, kind of learned the hard way there, but very important lesson to learn.
When you're in an acute health situation.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're healthy, you have a lot more leeway.
Oh, sure, sure, yeah.
So, okay, and so then you ended up with metastasized cancer, and you had chemo, radiation, and surgery. But you were still able to maintain the diet a little bit even in the hospital.
Yeah, in the hospital was interesting. I had my wife take me up to Methodist Hospital in Philadelphia because I knew from reading Recall My Life that that's where Dr. Sadolaro had been, and I thought maybe there'd be somebody familiar with macrobiotics, and I was very fortunate that there was. There was a Dr. Donzi that was still there. He's since left. I think he went to the Pertikin Center. I'm not sure where he went from there, if he's still there or not. There was another doctor. I can't quite remember his name. I think it was Dr. Duchin or something like. But they found out about my case, and they knew. Found out I was on a macrobiotic diet, and they would stop in their room every day. I mean, they weren't my doctor. They found out, and they'd come and they'd give me these pep talks about staying on the diet. And do what you knows best, but let the doctors do what they knows best. And
right.
And so they really encouraged me to stick with it, and I'm glad they did, because at that time, I guess when the cancer was all through my body like that, I kind of felt like giving up in a way. But they really encouraged me to stick with it. So my wife was able to go out and in Philadelphia there and get macro meals and things from a couple health food stores in the area, and. So, tried the best I could anyway in the hospital.
And how long did all that treatment take? I mean, we're dealing with chemo, then we're dealing with radiation, then we're dealing with surgery.
I went into Methodist Hospital at the end of February of 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in at nighttime and actually went into the emergency room because I was in such pain. My wife just took me right in there.
Wow.
And so the next morning, first thing in the morning, I had a CAT scan, and I was waiting in bed, they're waiting for the results. And this whole team of doctors just came in and surrounded my bed. It seemed like they were all talking at once. You know, there was a nephrologist saying, your kidney's strangulated. It's not working anymore. It should be removed. I had to... Oncologist telling me we're going to need to do so many rounds of chemo and radiation, and I was just overwhelmed, and so they all left the room, and I just remember, and it's funny, I remember laying there just so overwhelmed and frightened of everything, and I just started praying to God, and I just basically just I just gave almost in a way gave up. I mean, or, I don't know what to use the word gave up, but I just said, God, I just can't carry this thing anymore. And basically just placed my life in his hands. And, and at that moment, I just felt like this peace. I mean, it's this wave of peace just came over me, and I just felt, I just felt really peaceful, and I just drifted off to sleep. I just remember that so well. It's incredible. But, so yeah, then over the next few weeks, they more or less started right away. I had the first thing they did was they removed the cancerous testicle. Then shortly after that, they started chemotherapy. So I
had how long did all that medical treatment take overall?
I went through 3 rounds of chemo, and I think there was 23 rounds of radiation treatment, and I think it was sometime in September by the time all that was done. I had my last main operation in October, and I had to wait for my blood counts and everything to bounce back and everything to you know, for me to be healthy enough to survive the operation.
Now, you had mentioned that something about your blood count where you're eating this macrobiotic diet, and the doctors were consistently surprised how fast your hemoglobin popped back each week.
I imagine it's because I was following the diet that they were concerned about my iron levels and my blood count, and he was always amazed at how fast they would bounce back, you know?
Right.
I guess. So, yeah, that was... Another thing that was interesting, too, during his time was the nephrologist, the kidney doctor. He wanted to have that kidney removed, and he said I could wait. There wasn't any hurry. He said after you get through everything else, you really should get that out. So I mentioned it to Denny, and I called him, I think, from the hospital. My wife called him, and he just recommended azuki bean tea and well-roasted pumpkin seeds. I remember him telling me, try to get some well-roasted pumpkin seeds. And I'd had that pretty often and stuff. And I was actually able to get the urine flow back through that kidney again. And they kept their eye on it. And by the time all my treatments were over, the urologist said, this kidney's working. It looks like it's on its way to working fine.
Wow.
So I never lost it.
Wow.
Which is cool.
That's pretty amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah.
That's the true integrative medicine approach. We're not talking about alternative medicine. We're not talking about this. We're talking about being as healthy as you can possibly be, getting the medical care that you need, and having results that normal Americans would not ever have because they're not as healthy as they can be.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. So then at the end of your medical treatment, they say basically that we don't know whether we got all the cancer cells out. We'll see in a year. You know, most likely something will start growing really fast again, and we'll pick up on that in a year.
Right.
They also said so, and you also had one testicle removed, so you have one testicle, and they basically told you that you'd never have children, right?
Yeah, the one oncologist said, he said absolutely not. The other oncologist said there might be about a 10% chance that, you know, you could. But he kind of doubted it. The level.
10%, medically speaking, 10% is not very high.
Yeah, one of the chemotherapy chemicals they gave me was cisplatin. It has heavy metal platinum in it. I guess that was the main...
Platinum, right.
Destroyer there of all that.
Huh.
But I mentioned it to Denny, and... He assured me that, you know, he could probably clear all that out of my system.
You know, chlorophyll and sea vegetables are demonstrated to remove heavy metals. So
yeah.
And macrobiotics is just filled with those two foods. And then a year passed. Your doctors were at that point expecting to see more cancer, but none ever showed up.
Yeah, that would have been in the end of, actually, my last thing I had done was in the spring of 1988. I had a portacat, it had implanted in my chest to receive the chemotherapy, so I had that removed.
Uh-huh.
it basically told me that, I mean, the oncologist wanted to do more chemo, but he said at this point it would probably kill you. So they just were waiting to see what was going to happen.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So.
And at this point you knuckled down, really, you know, eat a very strict plant-based diet. And
yeah.
And how long after the medical treatment was done, after that last operation where they removed the implant, how long did it take you to actually have a child?
Let me see. It would have been about almost exactly a year.
Wow.
Then,
1 year later.
In May of 89, that's when my wife found out she was pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And Christmas Day of that year, my first son was born. So,
wow.
Pretty amazing.
That is really amazing. Now you've had four children, right?
Yes.
All together. And are they healthy?
They've never been on antibiotics.
Your kids have never taken an never taken an antibiotic. I've taken a lot of antibiotics in my day.
They've never had to.
So your kids are just robust, healthy children. You have four of them.
I mean, they get sick. They get colds and they get, you know, but if they get a touch of the flu or something in the winter, it comes and goes. I mean, it doesn't seem to, you know.
Right.
You know, be too bad, so.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess one of the big mistakes I made early on was when I first started on the diet, I really should have looked at what the medical profession had to offer, because with testicular seminoma, it responds really well to chemotherapy.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know that at the time. You know, I just sort of went the macrobiotic route, and I turned my back on what, you know, the doctors were saying. I really should have looked into that it has a really high cure rate with chemo. But I think, you know, at the time I was such in weakened condition, and maybe it would have made me sicker. I don't know.
Yeah, you won't know one way or the other, you know.
No.
So, but it's an interesting point to make, you know, to find out everything that you can find out about your illness and make the best choice that you can make. Now you made the choices that you made, and it was a little more difficult with you medically because, you know, you ended up with metastasized cancer. But
right. But
in the long run, you played your cards well. I mean, you're here 30 years later.
Yeah.
With four healthy children.
Yeah.
So you definitely made an initial mistake. I agree with that, and I think that, you know, if there's ever a cancer where they know it's early stage and we can cure this medically very simply, hey, you know, that might be a good choice.
Yeah, I definitely would recommend that. I wouldn't want to see people going through, you know, what I went through eventually. But the other thing, another mistake my wife and I made that I really recommend not doing is. We kind of decided to keep it to ourselves what my diagnosis in the beginning, because we didn't want to worry our parents and family and so forth. And in doing so, it kind of really alienated us, and it just really added to the stress. I mean, you really need a support system around you and stuff. So that didn't really help that much.
Right. You know, I've heard that before. I've heard that with other speakers that were actually on the show. That they mentioned that they wanted, what goes into that thought process? I've never had cancer, so I want to know what is it that makes you want or feel compelled to keep it to yourself? What caused you to think that?
I guess you just didn't want people to worry, you know what I mean? And in worrying, they would also maybe try to push us in, especially in my case, I was probably afraid they would push me in a direction I didn't really want to go.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And that would just add to the stress of what I was trying to do. You know what I mean? So.
Right.
I guess.
Now we actually, we're supposed to be from 3 to 4. We're getting on 4 o'clock. I want to make sure that we give the opportunity to anyone who has a question. no questions pop up, we can continue chatting. But now everyone is, no one here is on mute, so you don't have to press 5-star today. So if anyone, does anyone have a particular question for John Williams or myself about anything with regards to macrobiotics? If you're brave enough to speak up, feel free.
No questions, but I wanted to say, guys, thank you for the story. That was, you know, you're a warrior and a fighter, and that was so humbly spoken. You just say, you know, I did this, I did that, but that was so brave of you to tell us your story. And what
And who is this?
This is Amy from Columbus again.
Amy from Columbus.
Yes,
thank
and
you, so
you know, you guys were talking about the nightshade thing. I tell people that on a daily basis about especially the arthritis and gout factor, among others. But, yeah.
Right.
Good to hear other people have that same experience. And as far as the sea vegetables and the chlorophyll, one great thing to keep in mind for any illness and probably what did help in your case, John, is the oxygen that those vegetables bring. And I worry, what do people, you know, people who have no vegetables in the diet, how do they get oxygen in the bloodstream, let alone these? But what they do is they bring the other nutrients through the body. And if you don't have oxygen in the blood, it's basically like flushing it down the toilet. So there you go. That could have been one helpful thing. I had midwives prescribe liquid chlorophyll to me during pregnancy for that very reason.
Chlorophyll?
Yeah, liquid chlorophyll. If you don't have, because see, this is the sad thing. Macrobiotics goes beyond just diet. It goes to the whole world. And I think one thing that interested me to keep going on and doing more is to make it that everybody should have the macrobiotic diet. You talked about, you know, where do you get these organic vegetables and the money factor. This is how the world is supposed to be. This is what we're supposed to be eating. But now in this day and age, on the mainland, we would have the beautiful algae and the beautiful, you know, watercress, and these things are growing abundantly. The wild things we call weeds are what we should be eating. And now it's all become toxic. Now it's a mini mall here and there, a Walmart, a gas station, you know. And now look at what's happening to the ocean. I mean, this is just absurd. This is what we should be eating, are these vegetables.
Right.
So, again, it scares me. I think, well, fortunate for me, I was raised vegetarian. I've eaten these things my whole life. What about other people? I mean, this should be the mainstream diet, in my opinion. So that's what I encourage. And it's just, again, great to hear the story. But I could go on about the green leafy vegetables, but, you know, the oxygen in the blood, this is one of the things. You know, we eat on a daily basis, but if you don't have those things, how are you going to absorb the nutrients? So,
yeah, absolutely.
Right,
yeah.
Especially for people battling any illness. And the kidney thing, oh, my gosh, how brave of you to fight that. And then here you go, you have this organ. I always, you know, that would be a last resort, but it's obviously there's a reason we have two kidneys in the body. And
yeah,
there you go, you
yeah.
tried the alternative and that worked for you. So, again, that's great to hear that story of that, too.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Great. Does anyone else have the bravery to speak up or have any questions? So, John, what are the things that if you wanted to sum up the most important things that you've gained physically, spiritually, intellectually from this experience you've had with illness and healing? What would you like to share with our guests?
Basically what Amy was saying, just the power of diet, and it's just a shame that, you know, more people don't realize they live day to day with all these health problems that they don't have to live with. I mean, it's a shame, but it's amazing to me how many people just don't believe diet has anything, and what they eat doesn't have anything to do with the way they feel. It's not just physical health problems either, but mental. Before I went on this diet, it was a myriad of problems of depression and anxiety and things I used to suffer that aren't nearly anywhere near as bad as, you know, they were. I mean, sometimes I'd have trouble holding a job for more than a few months because I'd just go into these bouts of depression. And,
wow.
So, I mean, you know, after changing my diet, I mean, it's just like I'm on an even keel. I don't, you know, have that anymore.
You know, that's an interesting point. That's something that I think about all the time, because they talk about the power of the mind. You know, you hear that so often. And with me, in my personal experience of life, you know, I've been eating a healthy diet for I don't know, decade and a half at this point. And the influence that that diet has on my mental state is undoubtable. I mean, it's you know, the healthier I feel, the happier I am. And so, you know, I always think that the power of the mind should almost be more directed towards, well, how can you use your mind, how can you make better choices with your mind and just enjoy the benefits of those good choices, rather than being sick, being unhealthy, and trying to mentally overpower that. That doesn't make much sense to me. I know some people do it, but it seems like a much more peaceful road and a much more straightforward road to use your mind to make healthy choices and then receive the benefits from those choices. So in your case, you said that with a healthy diet, your bouts of depression stopped. That's pretty amazing. That wasn't even something you planned on.
No, not really. And then plus, I mean, I feel like my spiritual life opened up too. I mean, I come to see my healing, you know, from God. I believe that the macrobiotics and whatever yoga and everything, other things I might have done, were tools that were given to me to you know, in this healing process. But it ultimately, I really do believe it all comes from God. And I think that you know, I think of macrobiotics anymore as just eating food the way God presented it to. I mean, the way the Creator made it, why, you know, it's in its perfect form. Why are you taking it and mixing chemicals in it and doing all this? You know, it's ridiculous. It's corruption. You're just corrupting it, you know? And you eat corrupted food, you're going to get corrupted. Your body's going to get corrupted.
Even, you know, this is the beautiful thing about the history of the chopstick that was invented by an ancient emperor for the case of, you know, he thought that it was too destructive to the food, too harmful to use metal utensils, that the chopstick was gentle to the food.
Oh, really?
That it would enter the body in a peaceful manner. It was a peaceful way to eat, a peaceful way for the nourishment to enter the body. I think that's so beautiful.
Yeah, my wife reminds me of that every time I go to use a metal spoon and a metal pan. She has a fit. She doesn't like that sound of metal and metal.
That was, again, a thing I learned Japanese when I was four by a teacher, and she taught us to use chopsticks. I've always felt like that was such a connection. One, it's, you know, the traditional chopsticks would be wood, which is natural, and then it's like an extension of your finger, basically. It's just natural. The motion is natural. It's flowing.
Now, what do you think about, you know, people in hot climates, they tend to eat with their hands. What's your feeling on that?
It just depends on the food, right?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a very practical reason why people in northern climates don't eat with their hands, and that's because when your hands are wet from the food, they can.
Yeah, there you go.
That's funny.
But that's interesting. So you would say that your spiritual connection, you know, has increased not only because of your illness, but also because of your diet.
I mean, I'm definitely a more prayerful person now, and, you know, I think I'm more compassionate in a way that I'll see, you know, I notice other people suffering more and would be willing to pray, you know, I think about praying, think about people more often and pray for them and things like that, where I just wasn't that way before.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's great. And what are your plans for the rest of your life, which is going to be very long at this point?
I don't make plans. Life just unfolds. I'm here for the ride. I don't know. Do I make plans? It seems to be taking me for a ride, and I'm just enjoying it.
Right.
So.
That's great. That's wonderful. So you're gonna be continue to be the great father that you're gonna be, and you're gonna enjoy being a grandfather in years to come. I'm sure with four children, you will assuredly be a grandfather.
Point.
Well, that's,
my children
that's
are all very musical, so I really enjoy seeing, you know, just seeing the creativity unfold in them, and just.
We did We didn't mention that. We did not mention that John's son, his first son, is somewhat of a musical prodigy. So not only did he have four children when he was expected not to have any, he happens to have a musical prodigy as his first son. Where is he going to music school right now?
New England Conservatory in Boston.
New England Conservatory. That's amazing. I saw a YouTube video of your son. It's a very creative approach, and technically, his technical skill is just astounding. I mean, it really is, like, wow.
Thank you.
So that's amazing. Well, we're almost finished up. We have about 2 minutes left. If anyone has any further questions or any last-minute question or want to share anything, you know, from their own life, by all means, you're welcome to speak up at any time. And if not, I just want to thank John for coming on and sharing his incredible story with all of us, and want to remind everyone that the call is being recorded. If you want to share it with friends, we also have participants, so we have two participants on every week. Tomorrow night we're going to have Nancy Wolfson, another individual who is told that she would not be able to have any children, and she had two children after practicing macrobiotics. She had one child at 44 years old and another child at 51 years old. She was told that she wasn't going to be able to have children even with IVF and all that kind of stuff. She's really an amazing speaker. She's also the editor of one of the editors of several magazines. I'm sure it's going to be a dynamic talk tomorrow night. And then next week, I want to remind everyone that Christina Perella is going to be speaking. She's well known for her Christina Cooks program that's syndicated on 150 different television stations and in over 50 countries. So just wanted to say thank you to John one last time.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And yeah, and thanks for all our guests for calling in. This was a really great time to share with everyone. Okay, this is from Macrobiotic Miracles. My name's Jonathan Burgess, and thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you very much.
See you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.